This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back, folks. Every Tuesday in the 11 o'clock hour, we spend time with difference makers in our communities, folks that are down in the trenches, working hard each and every day to make sure that we have a city that we can live, work, and raise our family. As cliche as that sounds, that's really what it's all about. I think most people look for that same situation, happenstance, however you want to characterize it. That's what they would like to see. And fortunately, in our city, we have a lot of people that do so. And today's no different. Janie Glade joins us, Executive Director of Glade Waves. Janie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So, Janie, if you would start out kind of describing the mission and vision of Glade Waves.
Well, our mission, we believe that all people have a right to food, shelter, education, and the tools necessary to ensure a productive life. The primary area of our focus is food insecurity and healthy communities.
So when we talk about, if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, define what food insecurity means. I mean, it's a very general term. A lot of people are not really quite sure what that is.
Well, I can give you a definition, but it's easier to say, let me tell you what food security is.
Okay,
food
that
security
works.
Food security means access by all people at all times to enough food for an active, healthy life. And for most people, that means having access to places like a full-service grocery store that sells fresh, healthy food, such as produce and fruit. The opposite end of that spectrum is food insecurity. Food insecurity is a lack of access to sources of fresh, healthy food. There are many reasons that an individual or a household could experience food insecurity: lack of access to grocery stores, transportation, income, the ability to afford fresh, healthy food. Those are the most common, but it can also be the most common reason for food insecure is that your income is restricted. And what you find is that you have people who prioritize paying the rent, paying the car note, keeping the kids in school, and that all of those things, paying the light bill, that comes before your food budget. When your food budget is small, so are your options for healthy food. The healthier the food, oftentimes, the more expensive it becomes. And so, unfortunately, our state is second in the nation for food insecurity, which kind of blows my mind. Here in New Orleans, because we have such a huge hospitality industry. But BladeWave's goal, my goal for the past 8 years, has been to put food into the community that people can receive without having to qualify. And that means they don't have to have a specific income or a specific address. Our organization is based on, if you're hungry, we'll provide access to food for you.
I think people would be surprised to learn it in some of the data that you provided that 87,170 people in Orleans Parish are food insecure. How does the demographics break down? I get it. But how does that break down demographically, like age? In fact, I just did a segment on Social Security. 62% of recipients of Social Security don't pay taxes on their Social Security benefit because they make so little money. They are exempt from paying taxes. And it was a number that kind of blew me away because the threshold is 32,000 filing jointly and 25,000 as a single filer. And when you think about that, you know, nationwide, you get a kind of a really good appreciation of how poor this country is in many respects.
You get an appreciation for how poor senior citizens are.
Yeah.
You also get a healthy appreciation for how difficult it is for single parent families to, even many of whom have decent jobs, but to keep their children fed and clothed and healthy. Since 2020, overall, the cost of food has increased by 37%. Unfortunately, salaries have not. And so what you find is that states like ours in Louisiana, we are number one in the nation for senior citizens who are at risk for food insecurity. And the reasons for that are varied. Primarily, it's due to income constraints. They spend their money on other things, in particular, medicine. We are number three in the nation. We used to be number two, but we have improved a little bit. We're number three in the nation for children who suffer from food insecurity. And out of that number, 84% of those children live in single-parent households. So people have this idea that the only people who are hungry are the people who are living under the bridge. And that, nothing could be further from the truth than that. It is a struggle for most people to make ends meet. It is, even if there's a single mom who has a $50,000 a year job and she's supporting, let's just say, two children, whether or not she owns her home, there's still a mortgage payment, an insurance payment, or a rental payment. If she has a car, there's a car note and insurance on the car note. The children need clothes. $50,000 after you take taxes out doesn't go very far. And there are many more people in that situation. It's what is defined as the ALICE, Access Limited Income Constrained Employed Threshold. ALICE is an acronym for that. And that is what most people would identify as the working poor.
Working poor, absolutely.
And that specific demographic is the demographic that GladeWaves works really hard to bring access to food to.
Now, you guys have two initiatives, one called the Big Red Box Initiative as well as the Hand Up program. Tell us about them.
Well, we have five initiatives. Big Red Box is our main, is our easiest and access to food. And we have food pantries, 14, located across the seven parishes that make up Metro New Orleans. And these food pantries are exactly what it says. They are big red boxes. We partner with churches, synagogues, police stations, community centers, and we put a big red box at those locations. We fill those boxes with non-perishable healthy food twice a week. And our community partner also fills those boxes twice a week. The goal being that once the community at large sees what we're doing, that we're providing food, then after about 90 days of a box being up, people sort of have the hang of it, and you, what you find is that the community gets in on it. So people are all the time putting food back in. They're taking it out, but they're also putting it back in. So that is direct access. Nobody's looking. When the pantry's full, you can take what you need. We do ask people to take only what they need and not everything that's there, because lots of people use the pantries. Mm-hmm. But that's a situation that remedies itself in time. That's our big red box. So we put in food like beans, rice, pasta, sauce, shelf-stable milk, cereal, oatmeal, fruit, not fresh fruit. We do canned fruits. We do canned vegetables, all shelf-stable, so it can stay there for a while without going bad. We do about 200,000 meals a year through our Big Red Box program.
Wow.
Our second largest program is called Senior Outreach. And that is a series of luncheons. We do seven luncheons per month for 10 months out of the year. And at each luncheon, first of all, the luncheons are free and they're open to anybody over the age of 55. Secondly, when you come to a luncheon, you will make new friends. And we always provide a hot meal and a guest speaker. And we also provide a take-home meal. So you come and have a meal, but you also leave with a meal. And we do that seven times a month at seven different locations in five of the seven parishes that we service. It has been hugely successful, and that program addresses not just food insecurity, but it also addresses loneliness and depression, because sometimes when people live by themselves, and they don't have the opportunity to socialize, they become lonely, sad. And those things have been proven to put them at greater risk for things like early onset dementia, diabetes, certain types of heart disease. So it's a program that does a lot more for feeding than for the individual than just give them a meal. And the lecture series that we have, it's a different speaker every month, is about ways for them to maintain living independently. So what I do is we hook them up with organizations that have something to teach them about things they may not know. For example, Entergy has a great program where they'll come out and they'll check your house to see if it needs to be weather sealed, and they will install energy-wise light bulbs for you. There are many other programs that exist that are free to seniors, and we try to educate them as much as we can so that it makes their life a little easier. So that's our second program. Number three is every year you have 500 meals at Thanksgiving with a coat drive. We collect coats from our community partners We have them professionally cleaned, and then on Thanksgiving Day, actually the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we hang all the coats on the fence, and you come up and you get a meal, and you get some camaraderie, and if you need a coat, you take a coat. And we also give away backpacks that are filled with shampoo and bath wash and toothbrush and toothpaste and fresh fruit and a couple of bottles of water. That happens every Thanksgiving. And then we have at Christmas, we do something that's called a turkey drop, which is a lot of fun. We partner with UMANA and West Jeff, and we get 500 frozen turkeys. West Jeff does this enormous food drive with all of the employees, both that work in the hospital and at the clinic, and we are able to fill 500 bags of groceries. And so we have four trucks that head off in different directions, and we distribute 500 turkeys and 500 bags of groceries in one day. And our grocery bags, every bag has recipes in it, and it has the ingredients for those recipes. And so every bag of groceries they receive is enough to feed six people three meals. So we're able to do basically 9,000 meals in a distribute 9,000 meals in about a half a day. So that's a really fun, it's a fun thing too. Everybody really gets into it.
Absolutely.
Then our last program you mentioned is called Hand Up. So many times people find themselves in situations where, for whatever reason, they cannot maintain a roof over their head or over the head of their children. And so they end up living in their car or they live on the street. Now, there are a lot of programs that will help these people. And a lot of them are residential facilities, and they can, Hotel Hope being a great example of that, where a single parent and her child can move in to Hotel Hope. And then they spend a period of time getting job training and job placement, and also, and most importantly, child care. And after they graduate from the programs, the social workers will call GlayWaves and say, hey, guess what? Patty Sue and her two kids are moving into their apartment next week. Can you do a hand up? What a hand up is like sending your child off to college to their first apartment. We do not provide the furnishings. We don't provide beds. We don't provide sofas or TVs. But what we do provide are all the linens for the beds and the curtains for the windows and the coat hangers for the closet. And we completely furbish the kitchen with pots and pans and dishes and glassware and silverware. And we furbish the bathrooms with towels and toothbrushes and shampoo and bath mats. And so basically, everything we do is new. Nothing is secondhand. And when the social worker calls and tells us that a family is ready for a hand up, we deliver the items to the social worker. And everybody says, well, why don't you go meet the family? And my belief is that these guys have been through a lot. Mm-hmm. And they should be celebrated for the achievement that they have earned. And I don't want them ever to feel like it's a handout, because it's not. It's a hand up. They don't need to meet me. They just need the services that we provide. So I don't meet with a lot of the families, but I do get reports back, and that those are always very cool. So that's kind of the five programs that GlayWaves works throughout the year. We've been at it now. We started with one food pantry. We're up to 14. We've been at it now this is our eighth year. We are not big, but we certainly do make an impact.
Well, by the numbers you quoted, you certainly do, and thankfully we have folks like yourself. You know, all of the programs that you mentioned to me, you know, having been involved in a number of similar ones, these all make sense, right? And they're, from an operational perspective of how you can improve someone's life and make it really easy for them. I remember when I was in Tulane Law Clinic, the difficulty in just getting a driver's license for some of my clients that I represented, you know, because they eliminated the bus line that went close to the state, you know, the area where the state operated the DMV. And I remember they closed one in downtown, and people had no clue as to how disruptive that truly was. I didn't, for one, until I, you know, I had to help my clients get out to Kenner, you know, in order to do it, and decided, hell, I'm just going to stick them in my car and we're going to go. I mean, because, you know, trying to make this thing happen through so many other ways, it just didn't make sense from an operational perspective. And these folks couldn't get benefits that they had from a deceased husband who's in the military because they didn't have an ID. It's like, this is crazy. We can make these kind of things happen. And as you were just recounting these programs, I mean, it's just making it so easy. And, you know, the last thing that you said about hands up, about, you know, being it more of a reward for their achievement. A lot of folks don't realize how important that is to these folks that are doing this. What may seem simple to us, it's not so simple for everyone.
Actually, you know, it's not so simple for way more people than we realize. There's such a huge gap, in particular in our neck of the woods. I often think of before I retired and we started a nonprofit, I actually worked in the hospitality industry for that was my career. And I often think of a lot of the people in the hospitality industry in New Orleans do not they're the housekeepers and the maintenance guys and the waiters and waitresses who people would think that because they have a steady job, they are making a lot of money. And truthfully, if you're not in a management position in the hotel industry, you're not making a lot of money, and period. And so these guys would work double shifts just to make ends meet. They were working. They were showing up every day. They were doing their job. And yet it's still making ends meet was really hard. And that is something that most of us, because we are going about the business of living our own lives, we don't think about that. We don't think about the fact that it's just not accessible, or that no matter how hard they try, sometimes there's a wall.
Jenny,
but knowledge is power.
Jenny, I'm running out of time. I got some texts here. Folks want to know, you know, the locations of the Big Red Box. They can go to www.gladewaves, that's GLADEWAVES.org, and they're able to find this information?
Yes, sir. All 14 and their addresses are listed on our website. They can also find where all the senior outreaches that we do every month are located, and everyone is welcome to come. We'd love to meet you.
Well, thank you so much. I truly enjoyed just listening to the description of these services that you're providing. You're making a bigger impact than you give yourself credit for. There's no doubt about that, I know, because this is not easy work. It is very difficult work every day. But thankfully, we have folks like yourself in our community that are willing to sacrifice a number of things to make a difference. And we're very fortunate for that. Folks, go to www.gladewaves.org if you would like to participate in any way, shape, or form. Thank you so much, Janie Glade. Have a great week.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us, folks.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Folks, welcome back, folks. We were going to have someone who wrote an opinion piece in the New York Post, Yulia Zyskina, who's actually a senior legal fellow for Razom for Ukraine, a U.S.-based nonprofit humanitarian aid and advocacy organization for the country of Ukraine. And she, several days ago, authored a piece, an opinion piece that was published in the Post that I found very interesting, that you don't hear many folks talking about. And that's a fact about frozen assets by both the U.S. and G7 members and other countries in Europe that belong to Russia. And this number could be anywhere from $500 to $700 billion. We know for sure that there's at least $300 billion that lies right here in the United States, and probably another $200 to $300 billion in a number of other countries, G7 countries and others. Interest is being earned by these funds, and many countries, including the U.S., have sent some of that interest to Ukraine in order to help support their efforts in fighting back the aggression, the horrible aggression by Russia. And the question now really is, what should we do relative to these dollars? Obviously, Russia is going to have to pay reparations, right? One would think. I'm not so sure that this is what's on the mind of the Trump administration. They haven't really revealed much about these dollars that are available. I guess maybe one of the questions is, should we send these dollars over to Ukraine to help fight, regain some of their territory in advance of trying to reach some settlement with Russia? I, for one, believe that the only way that this is going to serve as a deterrence, no matter what our negotiations are with Russia, is that Crimea is given back, the Donbass is given back. They go back to their pre-2014 boundaries. And that's the only way we call it a day with Russia. or otherwise we should impose all kinds of sanctions on that country and make them feel the pain that the Ukrainians are feeling. And the pain that our allies, NATO allies, G7 members, and others are feeling as well as a result of the actions taken by Russia with the help of China. And I don't think we should fear whatever the Russian retaliation is going to be, whether or not they attack us in the cyber world or otherwise and things of that nature, or whether or not there's any future in the banking systems of G7 members, the U.S. or others, to hold Russian money. I believe that'll be short-lived. If they place that money in China, they're probably placing this money in China right now anyway, right? It just seems to me that if we're going to be talking about all of what we're talking about, we ought to seize these assets once and for all. In fact, in Yulia Zhiskina's opinion piece, she talks about the fact that back in April of 2024, Congress handed then-President Joe Biden the power to seize at least $5 billion in frozen Russian assets sitting in U.S. banks. The president refused to act on that authority under the Repo Act, had bipartisan support in Congress, so there was no question of where everybody was falling on this issue. And it's disappointing to hear that that actually happened. A lot of people don't realize it. In fact, the Repo Act passed in the House, 186 Republicans and 174 Democrats backed it. Speaker Mike Johnson said at the time that forcing the Russians to pay for Ukraine aid would be pure poetry. Yes, it would. In the least. And why wouldn't we act? Why wouldn't we send the message that we were going to put as much pain on Russia as we obviously could? Joe Biden didn't act. President Trump's been in office less than 60 days. It's time to act. It's time to send the message that we are seizing these assets. We're going to utilize these assets to help fund, finance the recovery, and maybe even the battle that's being fought by the Ukrainians today, and pushing back this Russian aggression. And the ultimate goal, in my view, I'm not an expert, but I understand leverage. And I understand, you know, about having a deterrence from this ever happening again, is that you have to punish the aggressor. And sometimes you have to punish the aggressor unmercifully. And we don't sit down at the table with the aggressor and allow them to reap the benefits of their aggression. And the way they are reaping the benefits is that they want to hold on to Crimea and they want to hold on to the Donbas region that they've taken over, right? And let me tell you what's really interesting about this. The Russians understand that this could be a possibility, that these assets get seized. It's being talked about. It's something that Keir Starmer, the head of the prime minister in England, is talking about, trying to get all of the folks in the G7 to get on the same page relative to that and bring this proposal to President Trump to gain a better understanding of what their moral obligation may be as we move forward here. They recognize that. They have even suggested that if these dollars were given to Ukraine to help rebuild Ukraine, that one-fifth of the amount of money ought to be given to the territory that they seized. Now, if that doesn't give you an indication of the mindset of these sick individuals in Russia, in the way that they view us, who in their right mind would even propose that? No, Russia. You're going to be paying more for the other four-fifths if you hold on to those regions that you have stolen. And you get nothing out of the assets seized by the G7, the United States, and others. How crazy are these people? They have no shame. And when they say stuff like that, we should recognize right away that these are not individuals that you're able to sit down with and negotiate a deal that's going to be meaningful, enforceable, or otherwise. The arrogance to suggest that one-fifth of the asset of their assets that we seized would be spent in rebuilding the areas that they have taken from the Ukrainians. And we wonder why there was friction at the White House. I'm not wondering at all. And neither should you. We'll be right back. On a text line, it says it's not popular, but I think Trump is looking at it as we align with Russia because we don't need them aligned with China and wiping us out. Interestingly, one of the things that we found out about Russian capabilities during the war is that they're not as sophisticated as we once thought. Obviously, they were involved in a propaganda campaign for a number of years, having everyone believe that their military prowess was greater than what it actually was. The fact of the matter is that if we, I believe, support Ukraine in the manner in which we should, and we go back to the pre-2014 boundaries, there will be a realignment. But it doesn't mean that we don't have the necessary tools to make it even worse for Russia. China is suffering economically at the present time. They don't have the capacity that they had 6 or 7 years ago. They have the willingness, but not the capacity. We've seen them cut back on a number of their initiatives around the world. We're hearing that more and more. It doesn't mean they're weak, and it doesn't mean that we're any stronger as a result thereof, but it does mean that it's a lot more complicated today than it's ever been. There are these leverage points that come up in points in time that you need to take advantage of. I understand what you're talking about with Trump's wanting to do, but sitting down with the aggressor without a strategic plan, and we're doing it on two fronts right now. We're sitting down with Hamas, which I don't know how you even think about doing that, as well as the Russians, and negotiating around the countries that have been invaded. Now, I don't think it's as much of an impact on Israel. I think there's a lot more communication that's going on there, but they have been unhappy with that approach, and appropriately so. And so are the Ukrainians. We don't hear as much criticism out there by the Israelis publicly, but obviously they have more control of the situation against their opponent than the Ukrainians do. So going back to this seizure of assets notion, I think everybody ought to get on the same page with that and send a message to the Russians that we're not fooling with them. We're going to take their money. We're going to take their assets. It's going to be used in Ukraine, and it's not going to be used if you're going to hold on to any territory there. In fact, the better course of action for you may be give all the territory back and maybe you get some of your money back. But you don't walk away with territory. It's actually what was done to the Israelis in the aftermath of a number of different wars that they fought there. They ended up giving back land that they actually gained as a result of those wars. Why would the same not hold true in negotiations with the Russians? And not have them leave as beneficiaries of anything remotely associated with the horrific aggression that they've exhibited by going after the Ukrainians. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. And Secretary of State Marco Rubio says that the only way to end the Russian war is for Ukraine to offer up some concessions. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Representative Matthew Willard from District 97, talking about the Louisiana border region, studying the possibility of moving the University of New Orleans from the U of L system back to oversight by the LSU Board of Supervisors. We'll be right back with that, and we'll also visit with Alex Hammerstone, Advisory Solutions Director at TrustedSec, about X being knocked offline, and Musk claims it's from Ukraine.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.